Let me say to you that it's easy to become discouraged in days like we're living in today. Sometimes it's hard to stay focused on the matters that really matter in the Christian life. As one man said, it's hard to keep the main thing, main thing. So I came to you this morning just with on my heart a desire to offer some help to you about knowing how to keep the main thing, to really get involved with what matters in the Christian life. I'm going to be dealing with three things out of John chapter number 14. The first one is that we really need to know what the main things are in the Christian life. It is easy to flow through the Christian life without thinking very much about it. Get up in the morning, you put on your clothes, you brush your teeth, you go out and meet the public or go on your job or do whatever you do, and before long you've got half a day gone and you haven't thought much about your Christian life. You haven't thought much about Christ and about the things of God, and somehow we feel as if we can flow into our Christian life rather than living intentionally and thinking about certain things. But I want to tell you, it's not that easy. Christianity is something to be lived, and we're at war. You don't flow into a war. We have a job to do. You don't just flow into a job. You have to be trained how to do a job. We experience if you were going to be an airplane pilot, you couldn't just flow into that. You'd have to be trained to do that. And I want to say to you that there are certain things that are extremely important in the Christian life for you to be able to live that life and for me to be able to live that life. So we're going to talk about some of those main things. And then we're going to talk about how to keep focused on them. After we find out what they are, how do you stay with it? Because that's one of the most important things in the Christian life is consistency. And I have to say to you, I found in my own Christian life, that's where my battle is. My battle is with consistency. It is not so much with knowing what to do. It's just staying with it in the morning, in the evening, every morning, every evening, staying with it all day long. But there is a promise. That's the third thing I'll mention today. There's a promise that the Lord gives us in John chapter 14 if we'll just be careful about these main things. So let's get to it. John chapter number 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Well, Philip chimes in. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It'll be sufficient. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son, or that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it, Jesus said. So I said to you, if we're going to stay on track in the Christian life, we're going to have to figure out what the main things are. And I don't want to get down into tiny details this morning. Jesus gives an outline. And if you read this correctly, I think you'll be able to see an outline of some major things that He's teaching His disciples here concerning what it's going to mean to live in His life after He's gone. He is preparing them here in John chapter 14 for His death. He's preparing them for His resurrection and then for His ascension back to heaven. He is telling them, I am going to leave you. And when I leave you, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. He says that later in the chapter. He says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And these are certain things that are going to be needful in your life. He prayed in John chapter number 17, and he said to the Lord God, His Father, as He prayed, I have kept them, talking about His disciples. And then He says, but now I'm going away from them. Father, You keep them. In other words, Jesus is saying, I have been with My disciples. I guarantee you, my friend, while the Lord Jesus was with those 12 disciples, they didn't have to worry about anything. In fact, it was kind of funny. He had just got through feeding 5,000 people, and they're in a little boat, and they're going across the Sea of Galilee there. And Jesus begins to warn them against the leaven of the Pharisees. And they look at each other and say, oh my goodness, He's mad at us because we didn't bring any lunch today. We didn't bring any sandwiches. And Jesus said, no, don't. What is wrong with you? Don't you remember? I just got through feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves and a couple of fishes. While they were with Jesus, they had nothing to worry about. He kept them. Now He's going to go away. And so He begins preparing them by telling them, don't let your heart be troubled at this. You believe in God, believe also in Me. Which brings us to the first principle that I want to give you concerning this thing called the Christian life. And it's the most simple thing in the world. Claim to be a Christian? Believe in God. If you believe in God, believe in Christ. In other words, as you live your life moment by moment from morning till evening and all through the night if you happen to be awake, believe in God. Trust God for what God has promised you in His life. Listen to what He says again. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Ye believe in God. Believe also in Me. Now, the second thing He says is, believe in God's plan. Look down at verse number 2, if you will, or verse number 3. Jesus said, if I go, well, verse 2, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it not were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now wait a minute. I want you to get what's going on here. Jesus is telling His disciples He's leaving them. I'm going away. I'm going to leave you. I don't know whether we're getting the impact of that or not. What if one of these little children sitting here had to look at its parents' face and its mother and daddy looked down at it and said, son, we're leaving you today. This is how the disciples felt about Christ. They depended on Him. But here's the little child, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, 14 years old. And mama and dad walk in one day and say, I want to prepare you. I'm just trying to get you ready for something, honey. Now there's food in the refrigerator and there's clothes in the closet and there's shoes in the closet and you know where everything is, but daddy and I are leaving. Well, you talk about a shock. These disciples are, what do you mean? Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Your faith is in God and your faith is in Me. Trust Me here. And then He says, trust God's plan for you. In My Father's house are many mansions. Here's God's plan. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. I'm going to go. And if I go, I will come again and I'll receive you unto Myself. You see, it's not so bad if mom and dad says, hun, we're going to be gone just for an hour. Or we're going to be gone just for a little while. Let's just make yourself at home, get you a bowl of popcorn, and we'll be back in just a little while. That's not so bad. And Jesus is saying to them, I'm going to go away. But now, wait a minute. Think about the horrendous way that he's going to go away. He's going to go away through crucifixion. He's going to go away through a terrible death. He's preparing them. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Believe what I am now telling you, which is, when I go away, I'll come back again and receive you unto myself. So he's saying, believe in God's plan for your life. Now, I want to apply as I go along this morning. Because God has a specific plan for every one of our lives. God knows you individually. God cares about you individually. God has a plan for your life individually. And He says to you individually, if you believe in God and you believe in Jesus Christ, trust His plan for your life. I tell you what, there's a lot of emotional energy that is wasted as people fret over their lives and they worry about their problems and they worry about situations that are coming up in their lives or that are present in their lives, and they don't really understand that God has a plan. God has a plan. Listen, our God is so magnificently intelligent that He knows everything all the time about everybody in every situation. He knows every tiny particular of your life, and He has a plan for your life. And He says to you, trust me. You believe in God, believe also in me. God has a plan for you. And then the third thing that is a main thing in the Christian life is this. And it's going to sound odd, but I think you'll get it in a minute. Believe in the Trinity. Look, if you will, in John chapter number 14. There is Trinitarian teaching here in John chapter number 14. You know, they tell us all the time, people are all the time saying, well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Well, that's true. But the concept of the Trinity is all over the place. Look at verse number 7. Jesus, in answering the question of one of the disciples, said, if you had known me, there's the Son, you would have known the Father also. And from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him. Philip saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father. Talking about God the Father. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. Wow, wait a minute. Here is a man on earth standing with a group of other men on earth saying, I am the same as God the Father. I and the Father, as we're one. Verse number 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe for the very work's sake. Saying to them, I and the Father are one. Well, you say, Brother Mike, that makes up two of the Trinity. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, all right, and He shall give you another Comforter, and He shall abide with you forever. You've got I, who is Jesus, will pray to the Father, who is the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Listen to this. I, Jesus, will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, Jesus said. How? By the Holy Spirit. We believe that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't believe that He's three different modes. We don't believe He's a father like a father, and then a son like the father is a son, and then like a husband. We don't. No, 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 no. We believe there are three persons, one God. One God, indivisible, and yet three persons in the Trinity. Now, why is it important to believe in the Trinity? Why is that one of the main things to believe in the Word of God and in the Christian life? Well, the first one is obvious. It's because it's biblical. I mean, that's obvious. The Bible says so. The Bible teaches it. The Scriptures are full of the Trinity. Everywhere you turn, you begin in the book of Genesis in the Word of God, where the Bible says God is creating and He says, "Let us make man in our own image." So the Trinity is just throughout the Bible. But the second reason, and I think it's an important reason for our Christian life, the second reason that we should believe in the Trinity is because it's the ultimate example of relational love. And that involves you and me as Christian people. There are 40 quadrillion infinities between God and the devil. They're nothing alike. But one of the glaring distant differences is this great Trinitarian God of glory is also the God of love. John said, God is love. God is love. You know who Satan loves? Satan loves Satan. And Satan loves Satan to the exclusion of everybody else. And when he tempted mankind to sin, that same nature was created in us so that we love ourselves supremely. Satan adores himself, and I'm afraid we do the same. But now listen, someone may say, but God loves himself. He does. But he loves himself by loving others. That's a distinction you need to think about. That is a distinction you need to get. God loves himself by loving someone else. That's why there's a Trinity. Listen, listen. Oh, that's a horrible statement. That's why there's a Trinity. God is a Trinity because His love overflows. There has to be a giver and a receiver of love. Love is not static. Love will... Listen, love cannot become stagnant. Because if love becomes stagnant, it's not love anymore. It's just a cesspool. That's all it is. But God the Father so loved God the Son. And God the Son so loved God the Father. And God the Father and God the Son so loved the Spirit. And the Spirit of God so loved God the Father and God the Son. Until all of that love exploded into what we call creation today. And all of it for the joy and the exuberance. The Bible says, in the beginning, the sons of God sang together at the creation. It was a glorious expression of the love of God, that inner Trinitarian love overflowing into creation. What that means for me and for you, and the reason it's one of the main things of the Christian life, is that this amazing love that God has is the same love He loves us with. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John chapter number 17, Jesus is about to go to the cross. It's called the high priestly prayer. He begins to pray. He prays for His disciples, and then He prays for those who will believe on Him later. And He says that they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. He prays and He says, and that the glory which Thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. So he's praying for his disciples. Then listen to what he says. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me, thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And then he says to them, to the Lord, he's praying, he says, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast, listen now, loved me them as thou hast loved me. You loved me from before the foundation of the world. I want the world to know that you have loved them, the disciples, with the same love that you've loved me with. Can you let that sink in? Do you think that would have an effect on your life if that became a main thought in your life? God loves me like He loves His Son. He loves me with the same exuberant joy. He loves me with the same great mercy. He loves me with the same approbation. He loves me with the same kind of approval. He loves me like He loves His Son. God loves you with the same love He loves His Son. If we're going to keep the main things, we must believe in and trust the great, great love of God for us. So the second point, how do we do that? How do we stay focused? We believe in God. We believe His plan. We believe in the love of Christ. We believe in this Trinitarian love. How do we focus on these main things? Well, the first thing I would say about that is simply this. We do believe God. We believe God. As the great missionary says, we attempt great things for Him. We expect great things from Him. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 12, chapter 14, He that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Somebody said, greater works than Jesus did? And you know, when you read that, people's mind always goes to the miracles. They always go to the bread. They always go to the fish. They always go to the healings. Greater works than Jesus did? Oh, no, that's not what he's talking about. Jesus never started an orphanage. Jesus never started a hospital, as far as we know. He didn't need to. But he didn't start hospitals. Jesus never started a homeless center. There have been multitudes of lives changed through mission organizations. Thousands upon thousands, been millions of people's lives changed through the work of God, through His people. Jesus was one man. He limited Himself. He did it on purpose. He lived in a little country. He traveled about 100 miles. That was it. Never wrote a book. But hundreds of thousands of words have been written about Him. Greater works shall you do than I have done. Believe God. God leads you into an enterprise, do it. God calls you to something, do it. Believe God. Trust the Lord. That's a way to keep the main thing. Find out God's will for your life and His plan for you, and then walk in that. Secondly, pray. Verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now that's conditional, of course. You say, but wait a minute, he said anything. And whatsoever. Yeah, but it's when you're walking in his plan. When you're walking with him. It's according to his will. When you're walking with him, then as you walk with him, you can ask what you will, and he'll give you what you're asking for. Oh God, give us this nation. Many missionaries have prayed, oh God, give us India. Oh God, give us Britain. Oh God, give us Scotland, oh God. God answered revivals, hundreds of thousands saved. The Lord moving in mighty power. God said to ask, pray. And then my life, which is a small life, your life, which you may think is not a very significant life, and yet it's so significant to God. Pray, pray. You want to keep the main thing? You want to keep these things before your heart? Pray, pray. Obey. Look at verse 13. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me.
Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. Obey the word of God. Now listen to me. Somebody said, Brother Mike, how do you know the will of God? You know the will of God by knowing the word of God. That's how you know the will of God. Know the word of God. I am so pleased when I hear some of you telling about where you're reading now. Because I know you're in the Word of God. I know you're reading the Bible. You're reading the Bible. Read it, read it, read it, read it, read it, read it. And when you get through reading it, open it up and read it some more and read it some more. This is your guidebook. I'll tell you something. If an atomic bomb were to go off in the atmosphere and all of our electrical grid was suddenly gone and you had absolutely no lights, you couldn't start your car, You're in a total survival mode. That little Boy Scout manual of how to survive in the wilderness might become the most important little piece of literature you have right there at that moment, beside your Bible. Because it might tell you how to light a fire. It might tell you how to catch a fish. It might tell you how to get out of the rain. It might tell you how to survive until the power comes back on. I want to tell you something. You need to be in survival mode. And this is your book. This Bible is your book. And it will tell you how to walk in the will of God. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Find them out. Walk in His ways. The last thing I'd say is this. Recognize the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 16. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And here's my word. Recognize the Holy Spirit in your life. I am appalled at the people in our Baptist churches who are terrified of the Holy Spirit. They have allowed a bunch of maniacs called charismatics to drive them away from the personal work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Jesus said, I will send him to you. And He dwells in you. He dwells with you and shall be in you. Don't be terrified of someone who lives inside of you called the Holy Spirit. Get to know the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to illuminate the Word of God to your mind. Ask Him to show you what the Bible teaches. And then finally, believe in the resurrection of Christ. And believe in your own resurrection one day. Listen to what Jesus said. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. He's talking about His crucifixion. He's talking about His death. He's talking about His ascension. But ye see me, Jesus said, because I live. Here's the promise. You shall live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Hear me. There is a hope in the Christian life, and that hope is one day, all of this misery, and uncertainty, and all of these things that cause us so much consternation, all of those things are going to be in the rearview mirror. We're going to be able to say, praise God, eternity is ahead. I've got a new body, I have a new life, and there is no impediment between me and my Christ. No dark shadows, not looking through any glass darkly any longer. Praise God, this is it, the resurrection. I'm telling you, folks, it's a great thing to believe in the resurrection. And I can tell you, the older you get, the more precious that will become to you, believing in the resurrection. So, as we walk in these truths, believe God, pray, obey the Lord, recognize the Holy Spirit, believe in the resurrection, love the Lord. Here's the promise, verse 27, peace I leave with you. Get the context again. He's leaving them, but He's going to leave them with something. Peace. Well, what kind of peace, Lord? My peace I give unto you. You know, I have experienced that in my life. There have been times when I've been in situations where there ought not be any peace, but it came. I mean, it was just there. Where did it come from? It came from Him, and it was His peace. It was the peace He had as He walked in this world, knowing He was going to the cross, and yet His Father kept Him in perfect peace. You know why? Because that's the promise. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. And our Lord, if there was ever a man whose mind was stayed upon God, it was him. So he says, my peace I give unto you. And then he says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know the kind of peace the world gives? The world gives you false peace. The world gives you a peace that says everything's going to be... Just don't worry about it. I remember seeing the picture of an old drunk of one of the little tiny towns up in up north somewhere. And the town, just out of a joke, had made him the mayor of the town. And his saying was, just don't worry about it. Don't worry. No, he had a false peace. Got his peace out of the bottom of a bottle. And guess what? When the bottle was empty, I guarantee you his peace was gone. Jesus said, I'm not going to give you that kind of peace. I'm going to give you the kind of peace that abides. It's the kind of peace that will take you through a dying hour. It's the kind of peace that will take you through a war. It's the kind of peace that will give you grace in your most trying moments. My peace, Jesus. My peace. Keep the main thing, folks. Really let matter what really matters. And let God take care of all the other things. Father, I pray that you'd use your word this morning to encourage us. Thank you for these encouraging words from our Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you do love us supremely. Oh, God, I am overwhelmed at times when I realize your love for me. And Lord, I don't deserve it. There's no way that I could ever begin to deserve that kind of love. But I thank you. I just bow my head today and say thank you. Teach us your ways and teach us how to walk in them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Questions or comments this morning? Well, God bless you. You're dismissed.